strange music. Welcome. It's Monday night, New Year's Eve, 2007 to 2008, and this is the Winfrey Planetary Healing Conference Hour, simulcast on BBS Radio and our telephone conference line. And I thank you for joining us this Monday and New Year's Eve, and I thank all our people who are on the conference line. Wayne, who's on the line tonight?
You want the whole list?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
Let's broadcast the names to America.
There we go. Jackie.
Okay.
Undine.
Dee.
Gary.
Marianne.
Kathy.
Anna.
And Rebecca's on with Anna.
Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
And Suzanne.
Okay.
And Daphne.
Okay.
Larry.
Okay.
Robert.
Okay.
And myself.
Great. Thank
That's
you.
That's all I have. I had some beeps that nobody identified themselves. So.
Anybody like to say their name in the city that's not on that list?
Francis from California.
Francis. Hi. Oh, yeah. Francis. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Well, if Larry's on, I assume, is my sister, is Joanne listening? Larry? Oh, well. Hello, Joanne, if you're there. So, I'm going to mute everybody.
All callers are muted.
Those of you who heard that piece of music introducing the show tonight, that was actually Daphne playing harp, and I believe there was some backup, and that was David Wilcock playing backup. And that was recorded about 5 years ago. And if anyone wants that piece, and like a link to the download file, please email me at winfrey@yahoo.com. And I'll be happy to send it to you. So here we are all in our bodies once again on this transition from 2007 to 2008. And those of you who have been listening in regularly know that there's a lot of transitions taking place. Aside from this small transition of the change of years. We know what life looks like as humans. You know, we go through each day, we read the newspaper, some of us, we listen to TV. But what does life look like to those sources that are outside of time that are looking at us? This is where, of course, if you're listening to the show and you're not familiar with our agenda, if that's the right word, or our perspective, we have the unusual circumstance of having conversations with sources that identify themselves as group souls that are outside of time, and that from their point of view, 500,000 years doesn't exist. Although there's an exception to that because they can come in and blend with our consciousnesses. And while they're blended, the way they described it, they're listening now. I know they listen to the show, so I hope I don't get critiqued later. But the way they describe it is that, then for the moment that they're blended, they're in the experience of time. And that in one of the channelings, they said they jump in and out of time as much as we jump in and out of a swimming pool. So here we are existing in a realm where time seems like such an absolute. Except for many of us, we're in the experience of time moving differently. Many of us are experiencing this phenomena of Where are the days going? What's going on? It's almost like you blink and it goes from one day to the next. That's an indication that you, your consciousness, has actually moved into the space where time does not move experientially the way that it did in the past. Even though the clock moves at the same rate, everything seems to move, your experience of time and the way time passes changes. And so, what do we look like to these group souls, these sources that are outside of time, paying attention to us, noting us? Well, I guess in some ways, we look lost and trapped, because in this realm, once you get in it, it's kind of got a one-way door that it's not easy to get out. And so when we're here, there's so many traps that cause us to identify with things of this realm. And, of course, everyone recognizes us, or usually we become recognized by the things of this realm, by what we own, how much money we have, are we good looking, who are our friends, etc., etc., etc. And then, of course, we think that's who we are, so when we die, we have to come back and be that again, because that's what we took with us when we died, and we keep coming back, and the illusion is grand, and we keep, you know, and we keep repeating lifetime after lifetime, and I guess it would be okay, except that oftentimes we land up in circumstances, and of course we still never remember anything, where we have a lot of suffering. And we have to go through that suffering. There's no easy way out of it. Sometimes it's excruciating. Sometimes it's multiple lifetimes of suffering. And we're just talking about Earth. When we start looking at it from the perspective of group souls that are outside of time, apparently, all of us, or most of us, have had existences before Earth. Some of us have existences from the Andromedan system. Some of us have had existences from the Sirian system. Some of us have been on Mars when all of life was destroyed, and were moved to Earth to continue a series of incarnations. Some of us were on the planet Maldek when it exploded and turned to asteroids and came to Earth to continue. And then on Earth, there were all these societies that rose and fell. There was Lemuria. There was Atlantis. Now, if you've never studied this and you're listening and you're hearing this for the first time, you have every right to be skeptical. In fact, I hope you are skeptical, because these are things that there are signs of. There's a lot of study, in addition to information that comes from channeled sources. And there's these, what they call, their term is gross repeating cycles. That in this realm, we get stuck for perhaps millions of years with embodiment after embodiment after embodiment after embodiment in gross repeating cycles, never finding the key that causes us to rise above the identifications with this realm. And the way this was designed or hoped for is that there would be a progression, there would be an evolution, that we would graduate. And of course, those of you who have studied the material that I present, both in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and on my websites, the channeled material that I was directly connected with, know that we are at a very special time in evolution. It's the end of a 75,000-year cycle. Now, 75,000 years seems like a long time, except we're talking about gross repeating cycles of millions of years, and 75,000 years goes even far beyond the recorded history of mankind. And yet, here we are with information that you can't really glean from anything in this physical world, because there's nothing in the physical world to notate what it means to be at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, a dimensional shift, and yet they say we're here, and that we're going through a transition, and the Earth is lifting its vibration, and there's going to be a separation of souls. There's going to be those souls that graduate this realm and those souls that start over. And to graduate this realm, you need to have your heart open slightly more than half. And so when we throw into the mix something what you could call the negative elite, and the negative elite is a group of entities that are in this realm that actually enjoy keep coming back because they've set themselves up. I won't say they enjoy it, but they might enjoy it, some of them. They set themselves up to be at the top of the hierarchy, and so that they can turn everyone else into slaves and you know, not have to work too hard and enjoy the fruits of being here. So this negative elite does not want people to uplift their vibration, so they set up circumstances and of fear, of panic, of financial, economic deprivation, because that gives them the opportunity to control us. And so we're in the midst right now of this seesaw. We have the negative elite doing what they can to oppress, contract, create fear, and, you know, we still don't know what's happening next. And then we have these positive forces that are saying, we're here, we can help you, we can give you protection. Those of you that have been on this call, on our conference calls, often know that there's a lot of, know the feeling of that protection, that they can actually extend into this space. They're not there and we're here. We are all one. We just can't see it. We have a veil, but we can feel it. Many of us can feel it. Many of us can tune into those frequencies and sense them on some intuitive level. When you shut your eyes, you can feel the connection. So on this conference call, we have actually been creating a circumstance where instead of saying, hey, we've got to love each other, we've created a circumstance of loving each other. In fact, if you check into this call often, especially if you check in on the phone line often, you will end up opening your heart and loving other people. At least most people that have been doing that regularly have had that experience. And you see, you can't try to open your heart. You can't say heart open. Doesn't work. It's a spontaneous expression. You can visualize your heart being open. You can visualize loving other people. You can visualize being blended and connected, but you can't demand it because it doesn't work that way. You can get out of the way. You can empty yourself. You can say, I am open. Fill me. But you can't demand it. So when you want that experience, the first thing is to have patience. And the second thing is to find a place, people in this world that are open to having that experience. you know, if you're a lawyer or a stockbroker and you go to work and tell everybody, hey, I'm opening my heart today, you may find out that suddenly you're eaten alive by other people who might just take advantage of that kind of vulnerability. So you need to find a safe place where your heart can have that experience. So it's been my goal to create that kind of safe space. And I didn't know that I could do it, but I tried, and it seems to be working because a lot of the people who have been checking into these calls, I've watched them go through changes that perhaps they've never gone through in their lives. I've watched myself go through changes. You know, you're going into when one wants something to happen that you can't control, you're going into kind of an unknown zone. You're going into, how does this work? How do I open my heart? You know, it's an easy thing to say verbally, and it's a wonderful vision to say, let's open our heart and be compassionate. But how does it really work? How do you do it? We all carry so many dredges of ancient patterns in us. I mean, if we've been here millions of years or hundreds of thousands of years, and we're playing this game of, like, back and forth, we're in a body, we die, we go, you know, into some other realm, we come back in the body. The way the Ra group explains it, and, of course, I can't validate this stuff directly, but I've studied it enough and seen enough cross-references and asked questions and channelings and seen enough synchronicities and phenomena that I'm fairly sure this is accurate. And but, you know, when I say it, you haven't done the research I have, and I hope if you want to validate it to yourself, there's many, many things on our website that you can, higher-vision.org, that would be wise to research. But the idea is that Ra Group, the Ra Group is the name of the group soul that spoke through Edgar Cayce, if we have it right, and is now speaking through David Wilcock, describes time-space and space-time. And in the realm, the physical realm, they call it space-time, and they say in space-time, you can do everything, but you know nothing. And when they say do everything, I think what they mean is you can free yourself from the bondage of this realm. But when you're here, you don't even know you're in bondage. You don't know you've come millions of lifetimes. Most of us can't remember our past suffering. So when you die, you go into time space. And in time space, the way the Ra group describes it, you can know everything and do nothing. And now you understand this dilemma of life. Because when we're in time-space, in between lifetimes, we know we have to come back into this realm to free our entanglements up. You could say work out our karma, detach ourselves from the attachments that are here. And then you come into this realm, and you don't know that's true anymore. You don't remember that. That was the intention before you came into this realm. Now you're here, and you have the ability to do that. You have the ability to free yourself, but you don't do it. Why? Because you don't know you're supposed to do it, and you don't know that's important. What seems important once you're in this realm is totally different from how it looks when you're outside of this realm. When you're in this realm, it's like, how do I make more money? How do I get ahead? How do I get people to like me? You know, how do I pay my bills? How do I, you know, find someone to love me? How do I, you know, whatever. So you're right back into recreating in this realm. Now, you can still have things in this realm. In fact, you can have lots of things. It's not like having things or being in love or having money or even enjoying this realm is bad. We're here. We are stuck here. So if you're going to be here, you may as well enjoy it. The key is, are you attached to it? Do you identify with it? Or are you just enjoying it? It's like going into the automobile place and taking a car for a test drive and just enjoying it while you're driving it and then taking it back and saying, that's done. Well, if you can look at life like that, that we're all taking our bodies for a test drive and we've got so many years to enjoy it, and have the attitude that when we're finished, and during that period, share as much as you can with the people around you in a loving way. Learn how to share in love, which is not easy in this realm. That's one of the things. It's not easy to be loving in this realm because there are so many things that seem counter to that. And one of the first things people do when they hear the word be loving is to wear their heart on their sleeve, and they kind of put out emotional love, and they get taken advantage of or hurt. They pull back and say, that doesn't work, forget that. And so they're not loving anymore. They're afraid to be loving. Being loving in this realm, again, has to come from not trying. It's being, not trying. Being means you are love. You've opened up your energies, so you radiate love into your space. And when you radiate love into your space, other people feel it without you trying to love them. If you're trying to love, you're failing. So it's something that is learned by example. It's not something that's easy to learn from reading in a book. By example, you have to feel it from someone else. You've got to feel how it feels to be in a space where someone is radiating love into the space. And then you have a new reference point. Because prior to that, it's like talking to a blind man about seeing. How do you describe what sight is like to a blind man? You've got to give him at least a moment of vision so that when he goes blind again, he remembers, I remember what that was like. So it's a similar thing. When you're around someone that's radiating love into the space, you never forget it. It's there. It's a reference point. And I remember one of the first times I experienced this was a teacher I had 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that whenever I would sit in the room with 200 or 300 people, he would start talking, and I could actually, for the first time, I could see this energy descend into the room. I could sit through that, and I could feel this pain, because I was in pain then. I could feel this pain leave my body. It was like his eyes would connect with mine, and it was like the pain just got pulled out of my body. And I said, geez, how does he do that? And I don't think he knew how he did it. It's like it just happened. It's kind of the Christian idea of grace is when you get to the place where something like this just happens. But before you'll get there, you've got to vision it. You've got to take it in. You've got to think that it's possible. You've got to, like, examine your own negative sides. You've got to observe yourself. And there's no telling how long it will take. If you're in a rush, it may not happen. You may just say, oh, I'll try this. And it's like saying, okay, I'm open. I'll be patient. You can read through history and people that have had enlightenment experiences and illumination experiences. It happened when it happened. It didn't happen when they wanted it to happen. I mean, of course, we all would say we want it to happen now, but how can we demand that? How can we haven't done enough work on ourselves. We haven't gotten our shadows out of the way. you have to create a vision, you have to have reference points, and it can happen fast. One of the things about the work we're doing on this line is that we have huge amounts of support and help from lots of different realms. And if you are in a physical body, you still exist in those other realms simultaneously. You're just blocked from them. Well, everything starts in the, what you could say, the time-space realm, and downloads into the physical. That's why people get together and create group intentions. That's how prayers work. We're reprogramming our matrixes from the other realms, and it then becomes physicalized, and something shifts down here. It's like you start thinking, geez, I'd like to have that experience of love. I'd like to have that experience of spiritual love. I'd like to be able to radiate love into the space of the people around me. I'd like to be connected to the higher realms. Well, just the fact that you think you'd like that starts a process, starts something going on, that the intention to have those things happen penetrates through the veil, and it's the first step, I would say, in a transformation. And it's a first step in anchoring the energies from the other side of the veil into this realm through your body. Now, we happen to have had in this group a rather specific understanding of how those energies on the other side of the veil operate. And when I say how they operate, I should say an unusual understanding. Maybe we've scratched the surface of the understanding. I know that it would be like saying, look at planet Earth, and that you understand what motivates people down here. Well, I mean, we have so many billions of people, different countries, different cultures, different languages, different environments, different religions. So, you know, like talking about the other side of the veil and thinking that you begin to understand something might be rather, how can I say it, presumptuous. So maybe we just scratched the surface of understanding that there's these group souls that can penetrate through the realms into our dimension. And they're very complex organizations with subgroups and lots of room for individuality. And they have expressed themselves throughout our history many, many, many times, often using different names, different outward expressions, trying to penetrate into this realm using the forms that were accessible at a given period of time, sometimes relating to them as God was the way that was easiest to penetrate, because this whole explanation I'm giving is somewhat sophisticated. And for some people, this sophistication of understanding is not important. And for others, it is. Some people can go to church and they can connect with the spirit in church and they take it home and it's part of their lives. And they're the key is, are they radiating love to the world? If they're radiating unconditional love, they don't care if you're in their religion or not. They don't care. You feel uplifted around them. You know that person has succeeded by that particular attribute. But for many people, the premises of religion are too simplified, and you can't validate it. So now they've given us an experience in this period of time where if anyone chooses to, they can really actually validate at least the experiences David Wilcock has had, the experiences I've had, the experiences some of the people around me have had, and these are experiences of walking, talking people with miraculous circumstances that are inexplicable by normal human explanations and observations for things. So the key is, if you can't explain them in normal ways, what is the explanation? And my conclusion is the explanation that we're giving is probably as good as you're going to get. And there are people who have studied my work that said, I used to be an atheist and now I'm not anymore, because it was convincing. So if you're one of those people with doubt and you're listening to this, then don't believe what I'm saying, but study the work. Read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which presents the case that Edgar Cayce is back in the world. Read The Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which we distribute for free just by asking Suzanne at higher-vision.org. If you haven't read it, please request that. 70 pages of my conversations with this voice that identifies itself as the Council of Elohim, which, if we believe what they say, they are the creative force behind this realm, that they were here before there was a physical universe, and this physical universe is the byproduct of their creation. Now, it's not one being. It's a group energy. It's a group of millions of beings. And in the Questions and Answers with the Elohim, they actually explain how they did it. How did they create this realm? So read it and decide if it rings true for you. One of the interesting things about this particular line that we do is that we have the opportunity to have the actual voice of the Council of Elohim speak to us. Now, if you're a skeptic, I would suggest, you know, don't believe it is, don't believe it isn't. Just be open-minded. Don't make a predecision. This has been going on for me for 5 years, and my friend Daphne, who you can read the story on conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, spontaneously started channeling this voice, and it identified itself as the Council of Elohim, and believe me, I was as skeptical as I hope you are when you hear me say it. But she's on the line tonight, and we've had the Council of Elohim and their emissaries and their archangels address this group. And so I'm going to do an invocation to the light. Let me make sure she's here. Daphne, are you here?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to do an invocation to the light, and Daphne is going to blend with the energies and bring forth a message from these other realms. And we are honored to share this with you. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our body to the center of the earth. And right now, we who are on this line, we who are listening on BBS radio, those of us who are free willing to do so, we're going to blend our energies that are in the other dimensions in the process that Christianity calls communion. And just by intending for this to happen, many of us will feel an immediate shift of energy in our space as we become one. And we're going to invite those group souls, those archangels, those positive service to other intelligences that are operating in these other dimensions to join with our energy. And now I'm going to turn it over to them to share the message for this New Year's Eve, 2007 to 2008.
One moment, please. Good evening, beloved listeners, friends, sojourners of the light. We bid you welcome on the eve of this new year of your 2007, moving into 2008. You're on the precipice, the brink of great change. As a planet, as an experiential being in a physicalized body, we are the Council of An of the Elohim, and it is our pleasure this evening to share with you a message of hope, of urgency, of gratitude, of expectancy, and of alignment. Alignment with those energies streaming forth from your great central sun, the galactic center, the Hunabku, which is currently raising the vibration of your planet, actually of your entire solar system, and specifically here on Earth, from a planet of duality, of third density, of disharmony, of competition, of hierarchy, into one that you would consider from a traditional religious standpoint beatific, ideal. This change, however, shall not take place without great transitional upheaval in the lives of those who are consciously and some unconsciously making themselves ready for the great shift of the ages. What must occur in the body, mind, spirit complex, is an emptying out, a purging, a devestiging of attitudes, experiences, and vibrational tendencies which have lodged themselves into the DNA. These must be catapulted out by means of what we term catalyst, experiences which force to the surface those unconscious ways which we act or react or think, which do not serve the greater good, which do not serve others, which are not of love, which are not of the evolutionary spiral path of Mother Earth. Having said this, let us speak of certain gateways, of certain portals, energy conduits through which we are now moving. We are on the eve of the 1-1. One, symbolically, is a number of initiation, of new beginnings, and of transformation. We are stepping through the 1-1 gateway in a matter of hours. Or she is presenting the doorway to us. Those of us whose frequencies are closely enough aligned with the accelerating frequency of Earth will find that things which have previously only been thoughts, thoughts of possibility, thoughts of manifestation, thoughts of what it means to truly live a compassionate, Christed life, will find these things actualizing very quickly in their personal spheres, in their spaces, in their families, in their relationships, in their workplace. Those who are ready and are not holding back will find that what has held your consciousness in fear will quickly evaporate, that what has held you in bondage for perhaps thousands, if not millions of lifetimes, will be released over the duration of the next 3 and 4 months. It is a cause for great celebration. It is also a cause to live precisely in the moment, in the great eternal now. For our relationship as cosmic beings is changing, and thus our relationship with time-space is changing. In order to fully integrate these changes, one must not have thoughts nor actions rooted in the past, nor rooted in anticipation of the future. One must be in the Chiron, sacred now, the Kairos, the sacred now and the sacred here. For this is the place of the great healing. It is only when we can stay in the now that we access the divine creator, and we ourselves become the God-man, the God-woman, which is our heritage. It is our destiny. It is the pathway of self-realization. It is the Christ illuminated within each one of us. This changes upon us now as we awaken from a slumber. Actually, an uncomfortable breaking free, as a butterfly that breaks free from a chrysalis. And we start to spread the wings, which are still moist, letting them dry in the sun, and take our first attempts at flight. Flight. The image of a fledgling bird, fledgling creature, taking its first steps. We are on the threshold of such change now. Let it come into your life and go with the flow. Jump into the river and don't fight the current. The current will hold you. You will be buoyed up if you keep your heart open. If you keep fear as a knowingness that it is unreal and an idea and no longer has shackles binding you, your body, your mind, or your spirit. It is about the release of this fear on the deepest levels. This is the period we enter into now. And so we conclude our message to you this evening. This is the Council of An. It has been our greatest pleasure to serve and elucidate and uplift the consciousness of humanity, especially those souls who are preparing themselves to go forth and become galactic sojourners and fully take part in their heredity of interdimensional vastness and beauty and love. Compressed no more, you will find your creativity, your exuberance, your joy expanding, and you shall become an infectious pole, a harbinger for others. And people will circle around you as a moth to a flame, because in doing such a transition, allowing yourself to go through such a transition, you automatically ignite the flames of transition, of the transitional process for others. So we ask you, hold not yourselves back. Go forth. Be brave. And know that when the difficulties come, they will pass quickly if you hold in your mind that the difficulties are simply old patterns moving out, moving up through the body and out. And so we conclude. Adonai, Adonai, Tzevaos, Elohim, in the name of the one infinite creator, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Pax Christos.
Thank you, and we thank Daphne for bringing that message forth tonight. I'd like to take a moment of silence, and I ask you all to once again experience that love that's here right now, that's always here, that's always waiting for you to open to it.